Nehemiah chapter number 2. There's one thing I know for sure, several things, but one thing in particular right off that we know for sure about Nehemiah, if you've read and studied any at all about Nehemiah, and that is Nehemiah was a man of the Lord. Nehemiah was a godly man. He was a man that, boy, you want to talk about stick-to-itiveness, you want to talk about a man that stuck through some things, you want to talk about a man that was faithful, you look at Nehemiah. And I'd encourage you in the next week or so, maybe even this week, challenge you to take and read through the book of Nehemiah, a shorter book in the Bible, and take and read through it. And I think it'll be a great help and encouragement to you, especially if you're going through some things in your life, to see how Nehemiah kept on going and how he was faithful. And there's lots of things we could say about Nehemiah this morning, but as we begin talking about Nehemiah, we know that names in the Bible mean something. The names that was given to children, and even our names today that we give our children, mean something. Now, some people who name their kids today, I hear them in the grocery store sometimes calling their kids certain names, and I think, where in the world did they get that from? But anyway, without getting into that, name means something. And by the way, I think that's very important. There's a lot of things, a lot of applications we could get out of that. But the name Nehemiah, I found it real interesting what the name Nehemiah means. And we may go back to this throughout the message and refer to it. We may not. But just keep it kind of in the recesses of your mind this morning. And I think it'll be a blessing and a help as we study through this book just a little bit this morning. But Nehemiah, his name means Jehovah comforts or aids. Jehovah comforts or aids. And boy, if you look at the life of Nehemiah and just think about the things that we see recorded in the book of Nehemiah about him, I think that kind of really speaks volumes about the type of man that he was. And his name, boy, what a name it was. Jehovah comforts or aids. We know that due, of course, to the captivity and the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem and everything that we could go into that took place here in Nehemiah chapter 1, we know that Nehemiah was there and he was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes there. And he was the one that took, of course, and we know what the cupbearer did in bringing the king his cup, right? Making sure that everything was okay, drinking of it first, all the things they did to make sure that, you know, this everything was safe to drink for the king. And Nehemiah had a very important job there in the palace. And he got to see the king often, of course, with the job and things that he had. But Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. But yet, if you read the first chapter or so here, you'll see that Nehemiah was not, if you will, happy. Nehemiah had a great burden on his heart. Nehemiah was a Jew. Nehemiah was concerned about the condition and that his city, Jerusalem, was in. He knew about the city being in wreck and ruin, especially concerning the walls of the city. And Nehemiah, he knew about that, and the Lord placed a burden on his heart to go back and to take and rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. Notice chapter 2 of Nehemiah and verse number 12. It says, "And I arose after the king gave him permission to take and to go and build the walls." We pick up chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God, my God, had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon." Notice in the heart of the verse he said that God had put in my heart to do this. Now, what he's getting ready to do in the rebuilding of the walls at Jerusalem is not something that Nehemiah just wanted done, if you will, in his flesh. This is not something that Nehemiah just said, this will be a good thing to have done. This is something that God had put in Nehemiah's heart. This was a burden that God had placed on Nehemiah. This was God's will, we might say, for Nehemiah to do this, to rebuild these walls and to be the leader to help lead God's people to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah, the Lord was the one that gave him this burden to see these walls rebuilt. He walked around the city when he got here at night. He looked over it. He saw how the gates, it said in verse 13, had been consumed with fire. He saw the wreck. He saw the ruin. He saw the sad state, if you will, that it was in from the captivity, from the battle years before. And as he walked around it, he saw again the great need that he knew was already there before he ever got there. And as he saw this need, the king had given him permission to go and to be here, which was a miracle in itself. Because God had taken, and you know we've mentioned this not too long ago, that God can take and turn the heart of the king. We know that the king's heart is in God's hands. And God took, I believe, you can believe what you want to, but I believe He took the king, the heart of King Artaxerxes and turned his heart to say, hey, let Nehemiah go back. Let him rebuild them walls. And he worked in a mighty way, and here he is seeing the need firsthand with his own two eyes, and he realizes that there's some work for sure that needs to be done. Turn over to chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4, and we'll begin down in verse number 15. For the sake of time, like I said, most of you are probably familiar with the story. If not, I encourage you later on to read the whole chapter, the whole book of Nehemiah. It's so awesome. So many things that we could go into. Nehemiah 4 and verse number 15, it says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard. They heard about them starting to rebuild the walls and what they were doing down there in Jerusalem, known unto us. And God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned of all of us to the work, all of us to the wall, every one unto his own work. They tried stopping the work. They tried discouraging them from doing the work that God wanted done. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbingers. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Skip down, if you would, this morning to verse number 19. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. This morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at a sermon entitled, from the book of Nehemiah, what a great work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You for how true it is. Dear Father, I pray this morning that You would help us. Dear Lord, we can do nothing without You, but dear Lord, we know that as Your Word states the truth, that with You all things are possible. And so, dear Father, we pray this morning as we study this account, dear Lord, of one of Your great servants, that You laid a burden on his heart to do Your will with his life, dear Lord, to go back and to rebuild these walls. Dear Father, I pray that You would help us, dear Lord, to not just read this account and say, wow, that's amazing what God did through Nehemiah, but that You would take and Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, dear Lord, about the work You would have us to do. Dear Lord, as individuals, as families, and especially this morning as a church, help us this morning, I pray, Your Holy Spirit, accomplish Your work in this place, in our hearts. Dear Lord, we yield this time to You. Touch our lips, dear Lord, this morning. Touch our hearts, dear Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, and only the way that You can do, we'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here that in verse number 19, that Nehemiah made a statement. He said, the work is great and large. The work is great and large. This morning, I believe this phrase is not just used once, it's used a couple of times in describing the work that God had placed before Nehemiah and before God's people. They had a great work to do. They had a large work to do, the Bible says. This was a great work and it was a large work. May I submit to you, it was a large work because they were talking about rebuilding the wall around the city. A pretty good sized city, rebuilding the walls. You say, why? You know, we know that back in Bible times, the walls were important, right? We don't have a wall today around Chester or a wall today around York or anything like that. But back in Bible times, the walls were important, and the walls were, of course, there for defense, access, to keep people in, keep people out, mainly to keep the intruders out. But the walls were there for a purpose and for a reason. We know about the city of Jericho and the great walls that it had around it. And so the walls were important, and the walls oftentimes spoke of the strength of that city, spoke about the greatness of that city. And we know that here, Jerusalem, they were just basically open to the enemy, if you will. Anybody could walk in, walk out at any time. It was just in a mess, the state of the city here with no walls around it. The gates torn down. Here was a city that was just open, if you will, to the enemy. What a great and a large work they had before them to rebuild these walls. But God's work is always a great work. God's work is always a large work. And this right here is something that is so important for us to realize. God's work's always great and God's work's always large, but that doesn't mean that God's work can't get done by God's people. But it's got to be God's people working as God leads them to get the work done. And we've got to realize that God works through people, but it's God that gets the work done. It's not God's people. It is God's people that gets the work done, but it's not that we're doing it. It's God's doing it. It's God's throwing it through God's people, if you will. God needs us to take and say, Lord, here's my two hands. Use it to accomplish your work. Here's my mouth. Use it to accomplish your work. And so God works through God's people to accomplish His great work and His large work, just as He did here with Nehemiah. But yet, along the way, Nehemiah just didn't take and go back to the city of Jerusalem, walk around it, see what was going on, and say, all right, let's build some walls. He got all the materials together. They took and they built the walls, and they were done, and no problems. Everything was hunky-dory, right? That's not the way it worked, but that's not the way things work often in our lives either. When the Lord calls us to do a work and we get started doing that work, or sometimes even before we get started in doing the work, the devil tries to send things along to stop us. Always. Hill, you trying to do the work of the Lord? The devil's going to try to send some things along and send some people along and stuff along to stop you, to try to discourage you, to try to distract you from doing the work that God wants you to do, that great and that large work. And He tried to do that here to Nehemiah and to the people of Israel. He tried it first off through a man named Sanballat. He was kind of the ringleader, we'll call him this morning. He was the man that really was the ringleader that's mentioned the most, that the devil tried to use to discourage them from building, rebuilding the walls. And he tried to use several different tactics, and this is really what we're going to get into a lot this morning, spend most of our time on, is there's really three different main ways, and really three ways could fall under one way, but three different ways that he tried to discourage or detract them from rebuilding this wall. And it's the same way that the devil tries to work against us today from doing the work of God. Things have not changed, folks. The devil's tricks have not changed. They're the same way and the same tricks at the heart that they used to be. The first thing he tried to do is found over in chapter 4 and verse number 1. We'll see the first way he tried to Sanballat that was used to try to stop the work. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation," and notice this next word, "and mocked the Jews." Notice here Sanballat. I find him a very interesting person because we said that the name Nehemiah meant Jehovah comforts or aids. And boy, he's going to need that before he gets too much farther into this work. But we see here the man that come against him that was the ringleader, we would say, would be Sanballat. Now Sanballat, he has a good name as well, in the sense of what his name means. His name means strength. Strength. He was given, his name means strength. And so when I see Nehemiah, by essence of what his name means, I see him being a man that was strong. I see him being a man that was, if you will, a formidable foe, we might say. He was a strong man, I believe. He was a man of strength. And he was the one that the devil tried to use, that was used to try to discourage and stop the work of building the wall. He got upset when he heard about this wall. He got mad about it. And in verse 1, it said that he mocked the Jews. We know what the word mocked means, right? Turned up his nose at them. He began to, if you will, take and make fun of, is the words we would use, to ridicule God's people. He said, rebuilding those walls, you know, in one place they were talking and they said, hey, you know, anybody can take and just come up and just knock that little wall down when you get done. It won't be no big deal. It won't stand the test of time when you get done. Rebuilding the walls, those little bit of, what are you doing down there rebuilding that wall? They begin to mock and make fun of. In other words, he used words. Often today, people do the same thing. They try to use words to discourage. And here was the first thing that he tried to use to discourage, to stop the work and stop the walls from being built, to stop God's work, was words. And he used some strong words, this man of strength. He used strong words. He used many different words. You could read and see all through Nehemiah when you read the whole thing. He used a lot of words, a lot of mocking to try to discourage God's people. Notice verse number 2 of the same chapter. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews..." Feeble, he called them. "Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him. And he said, "Even that which they build, here it is, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." All it takes a fox. You know, he'll just take and tear down that wall. It won't take nothing to tear it down. Verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head." What a prayer. "And give them a prey in the hand, give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." But notice verse 6. What did they do? The words come against him. They begin, Sanballat and Tobiah begin to speak these words against the people. By the way, Tobiah has an interesting name as well. We'll get into this a little bit in the next point. But while we're here, his name, another one that was there with Sanballat, his name means Jehovah is good. Now, I found that one interesting. Hang on to that. We'll get back to it. But here's Sanballat, name means strength. Here's Tobiah, whose name means Jehovah is good. And they're taking and they're just slinging these words left and right, just making fun of God's people down there trying to do the great work, and especially Nehemiah, ridiculing. It won't stand. There's no need in doing this wall. But notice verse 6. "So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together into the half thereof." Notice this last phrase. "For the people had a mind to work." In other words, what did Nehemiah do? What did the people do? When all these words began flying and they tried their best to use these words as their attack mode to try to discourage and stop them and say, "Well, this is just too much. Forget it. Everybody's putting us down. Everybody's making fun of us. You know what? Let's just throw in the towel. Let's quit rebuilding this wall. Let's just give up. It's not that important." You know what? No, it was a great and it was a large work. They realized that. Nehemiah realized that. And what did they do? They had a mind to work and they said, "No, we're going to build this wall. We're going to keep working." That's the attitude today that we need to have. Amen? In the great and the large work that the Lord's called you to do in your life, we need to take as believers and keep working. When the world takes and throws the words at us, they throw the mocking at us, they take and they say, "Oh, that church, they'll never do nothing for the Lord. Oh, that little so-and-so, they're nobody special important. They can't hardly speak or talk to nobody, or they're just, you know, you live down in Chester of all places, you know. You live in a little town called Chester, in a little town called York. What good thing can come out of Chester, right, Brother Brent? You know, what are you, you can't make no difference down. What are you doing?" And they begin to throw those little mocking words. "You only got a few people down there at that church. What difference can you make?" They begin to slow them words left and right. Throw them left and right. I've had them throw the words at me left and right, people. You know what? Just take and keep on building. Amen. Keep on building. They had a mind to work. Praise the Lord that their mind was on the work of the Lord. Their mind did not get distracted on the words of these enemies. Instead, they had a mind to work. Don't let your mind begin to get distracted today, folks, by the words of the world. Instead, keep your mind on the work of the Lord. That's the best thing for us to do. Watch our minds. Boy, because if the devil can get into that mind and get those thoughts started, guess what? And that means we've got our mind off of the work. We've got to keep our mind on the work. You see, keep our mind right with the Lord and in His Word. The people, they had a mind to work. I thought about here that tongue, as they were just wagging their tongues, trying their best to discourage the people of God from stopping. It reminded me of James chapter 3 and verse number 5. It says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Boy, you read James 3 and it tells you a lot about the tongue. Book of James does. But what am I saying? The tongue is probably one of the smallest weapons in the world. But you know what? It's one of the most deadly. And it's one that can just take in a split second and start a fire. And it's one in a split second that the Lord can take and use to start a fire for Him and somebody being saved. It's so powerful, the words and the tongue. And here they tried first off to distract and stop the Word of God, the work of God, by using words. People do the same thing today, folks. They'll do the same thing today. The devil has not changed his tricks. He has not changed what he tries to do today. He tried to discourage through the words. It reminds me of a lot of things I've heard and seen people say in my life. What about you? You can't do that. The Lord can't do this. You can't do that. That church can't do this. Y'all know what I'm saying. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. They try to use words. I remember a saying that I've heard all my life that probably most of y'all have, that you especially, I guess, maybe got told to you or heard people say when you was younger. But the saying goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's one, as they've said, one of the biggest lies out there, right? I mean, it should be that way, I guess. But you know what? Words do hurt. Words do hurt, don't they? Matter of fact, a lot of times, words hurt worse than the whip. A lot of times words hurt worse than being hit upside the head. Sometimes the words make you feel like you've been hit upside the head, right? And sometimes you'd rather been hit upside the head than have those words said. And so words are powerful. And here the devil knew that, and he's trying to discourage them from doing the work. Sanballat, Tobiah, they're taking and letting the words fly. Reminded me, this was before my time, but maybe back in some of y'all's time. But this, as I seen this, it kind of reminded me a little bit of what I studied in history about the Cold War. Right? Between Russia and the United States, what was it mostly about from what I remember? Words.
What's going on right now?
Words. Going on again now. Powerful. Just a war of words. But you know what I found interesting as I studied Nehemiah? That there never was a point that I see where there was really any battle. But there sure was a lot in a physical sword battle. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of battling, but not in the sense of armies battling. It was just a lot of words. A lot of words. The devil today tries to do the same thing. He'll try to stop us from doing the work of the Lord. He'll take and send family members to start throwing words at us. Boy, that hurts, don't it? When family members, your own mama, your own daddy, your own aunt, your own uncle, your own brother, your own cousin, stepsisters, whatever, you fill in the blank. Friends, maybe your friends begin to throw words. Maybe your own church members, my goodness, hope not, begin to take and throw words and try to discourage. You know what? Keep doing the work. I've had people before that were meaning well, that are saved, good people. But they've said some things to me before that just cut me right to the heart and broke my heart, and boy, their words hurt. But you know what? We got to have a mind to do the work of the Lord. We got to keep on going. Don't let words take and discourage us and stop us and distract us, but take and have a mind to work and do with a burden that the Lord has laid on your heart of what He would have you to do. Don't let the word stop you in the work. But the second thing I see they used, which is tied in with the first, as all these are, chapter 4, verse number 7, where we left off, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And conspired all of them together." They're gathering together a band to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them, amongst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease." Read on down. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Skip down to verse 20. We read it earlier. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Look at verse 21. Before we do, what did they do? The second thing that they tried to use, Sambalat, Tobiah, that they tried to use to discourage and stop the work, was the threat of weapons. Weapons. They said, okay, words didn't work. We'll bring some weapons down there. We'll bring some weapons down there. We'll take and bring an army down here and we'll attack you. We'll have a battle and we'll slay and we'll kill and we'll end this thing right now. They made threat that they were going to come down there and there was going to be a battle. They gathered together a group of people, if you will, some allies, right? And they were going to have a battle, supposedly. They were going to take and attack them and just end this thing right now. And I find it so interesting that here we see the name mentioned, Tobiah, which I mentioned earlier, means Jehovah is good. Now, why in the world would a man who's got such a name as Jehovah is good be mixed in the midst of all this, going against, threatening to go to battle against God's man and God's people doing God's work? May I say the lesson for us in this is simply here. Don't miss this, that oftentimes those that say they're on our side, they're serving the same God that we are, they'll try to do the same thing today. They'll say, oh, I serve the same Lord you do, but you don't need to be doing that. They'll try the same thing today. Let me say, just because somebody tells you they're on the same side and fighting the same battle you are, and somebody says, but you don't need to be doing that, be careful about who you take counsel and advice from. Even supposedly in the Lord's name. Here was Tobiah. He was a man whose name meant Jehovah is good, but he was fighting against the people of God. Don't you see, a lot of times today, those that supposedly are fighting against what seems like the truth, but yet they're supposedly doing it in the name of God. Think about the Apostle Paul before he was saved and was Saul. What did he try to do? But it was done in his mind in the name of the Lord. You see today, folks, what am I saying? We need to, if God's given us a great work to do, and God's placed a burden on your heart to do that work, and it's the Lord's work, don't let nothing stop you from doing it. It's a great work. It's a large work. Do it. Even if they threaten weapons, threaten battle, take and be faithful. What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah got a battle plan ready. He said, all right, we're going to take and put watchers around and we're going to prepare and we're going to try to watch out for what's going on, but we're not going to stop this work. Those that's working on the walls, I want you to take and have your tool in one hand working for whatever it was that they were doing on the wall, whatever their responsibility was in one hand, but I want you to have in the other hand just ready, just in case, that sword, that spear. I want you to be ready, and if the enemy comes, we'll sound that trumpet, he said. We'll gather together even though we're farther apart on the wall. But notice what he said in verse 20. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Now, why would he tell them to get weapons and spears and swords if God's the one that's going to fight for them? Because God's people, notice this, we're going to be used by God to fight a battle that was God's. What am I saying today? I'm simply saying this. Sometimes we as God's people, I've heard people make this comment before. Well, I'm going to let the Lord fight that battle. Well, that's true. But the Lord may want us to take a stand at the same time and get ready. You see, that's what Nehemiah did. He got prepared, got the people prepared for a battle, and he said, hey, if the battle does come, we're going to be ready and we're going to take a stand. But if it does come, realize this is not our battle, this is God's battle. But this is God's work, and therefore if the battle comes while we're doing God's work, if the suffering comes, if you will, while we're doing God's work, then guess what? It's God's battle. And the Lord will take care of us. It's His fight. It's His battle. Kind of reminded me of a verse of Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 15. It says this, Jehoshaphat said, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith, the prophet said to Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. The last phrase, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, today, folks, if you're doing a great work for the Lord, you're doing the Lord's work, you're doing what the Lord's placed in your heart to do, guess what? Don't stop doing the work. It's God's work, and if the battle comes, it's God's battle. Be ready, but the Lord will fight the battle for you because it's His battle. They threatened weapons. They threatened weapons. The same today is true for the servant of God that's taking and doing the work of God. They'll take and they'll try to send weapons. They'll try to send things, threaten things with words to try to discourage and to stop. But notice with me, if you would, in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. And there's so many other good verses in here that we could get into, but we won't for the sake of time. Nehemiah 6 and verse number 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, we've talked about him. What did Sanballat's name mean? Strength. Notice the second person. And Tobiah. What did Tobiah's name mean? Jehovah is good. Now, a third person's name we see mentioned here in this verse. And Jeshem the Arabian. Now, the name Jeshem, it has an interesting meaning as well. It means rain. I thought that was real interesting. You got one that means strength, one that means Jehovah is good, and one that means rain. May I put it this way to you? Sometimes it seems like the rain falls, don't it? In the middle of you trying to be out doing God's work, it seems like the rain falls and everything in the world is against you, trying to stop you, trying to discourage you from doing the work of the Lord. Jeshem, it means rain. Here he was, joined himself together. And the rest of our enemies, it says, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. So notice here in chapter 6 where they're at on their progress. They've rebuilt the walls from what I see. There's no breach in the walls. The walls are done. They're ready to go. The only thing that I see here at the end of chapter verse 1 that it says is left to do is to take and put up the gates. And the work's done. In other words, they're almost there at the finish line, right? They can see the finish line in sight. They can see that they're almost done. All they got to do is put up those gates. It says to set up the doors upon the gates. Excuse me. That was the only thing left to do, is put the doors upon the gates. But Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they still ain't done yet. We've seen where they tried the words, they tried the threat of weapons. But now notice verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of... I always can't help but get over this name. And I even hit yesterday on my little blue letter Bible at home to see how this word is pronounced in the Hebrew. And it's pretty close to the way I'm getting ready to say it. Oh, no. That's the way the blue letter Bible said it anyway. Now, it may be pronounced differently. That's what that guy said on the computer when I hit the button in Hebrew. It sounded like oh, no to me. Oh, no. Oh, now. Oh, no. Notice here where he wanted them to meet. Can't help but miss that. I know there's probably not a spiritual lesson, but I think there is. But they thought to do me mischief. Notice what he's trying to do here. These men realize the work's almost done. They said, okay, we tried all kinds of words, and there's other words we didn't look at that they tried to discourage and stop the work all along the way. Didn't work. They try a threat of weapons, of battles. We're going to fight. You're going to die. Stop building those walls. Didn't work. People kept working. They kept working. And they kept working. They're almost done now. The only thing left to do is put the doors up upon the gates. And they have, if you will, one last effort. One last trick up their sleeve, so to speak. They take and they say, okay, let's send down a messenger and tell Nehemiah that we want to take and sit down and have a talk. Sign a peace treaty, right? Have a talk before this thing is completely done 100%. Let's see if this will work. Let's meet together down in this place called Ono. And that's, like I said, Ono, it speaks for itself. I don't even have to go into that. But to meet together in this place. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any harm in sitting down and talking? You know, oftentimes we take and we hear on the news, they'll say that this country or that country or this one or that one, if they're having a battle or situation, they'll talk about, you know, one don't want to sit down and talk with the other. You know, and they're not going to sit down, they're not going to talk. And a lot of times, the United States especially, we'll try to get them to sit down and talk. You know, just sit down and talk. Try it. It can't hurt anything, you know. And maybe we've said words like that before about people that's having arguments. Sit down and talk. It can't hurt anything and all this. But you know what? Sometimes sitting down and talking is not necessarily the best idea. And here they tried to send, if you will, what I call the last point, the welcome committee. Here they tried to send a welcome committee. They said, okay, come on down. Come on down, Nehemiah. Sit down with us. Welcome. Come on down. I see this because this is the way my mind works. I can't prove this from Scripture. We'll have a meeting and we'll have a meal together. I can't help but think about it. They're going to talk over a meal. I don't know. I'm putting that in there. But they're going to sit down. They're going to talk. They're going to have a meeting. And we'll figure out what to do. They try to make it seem all innocent that they're going to do this. Let's have a meeting. Let's meet together and talk about this work. But yet, the Lord had given Nehemiah enough spiritual discernment. With our word we might would use would be it was spiritual discernment, but brains, to see right through this thing, right? He realized they're not wanting to just sit down and talk. They got some plans in mind. I know these two guys. They've been against us from the beginning. Tried their words, they've tried weapons, threats of battle, they've tried everything from the get-go to stop the work. Now they see it's almost done, and now here they are trying to want to make peace, to try to get us to sit together, to sit down and talk and get together about this thing. He says, no, verse 2 at the end, but they thought to do me mischief. He saw right through their ploy. He saw right through their meeting, if you will, that they wanted to have. He saw right through this welcome committee, and he said, they want to do mischief. In other words, I believe this is what their whole intent was, to get him down there to meet with them. If he wouldn't do what they wanted him to do, kill him. And that'll end it. That's what they were trying to do, to get him away. But notice the response from Nehemiah, and I sent messengers unto them saying, notice his response. I am doing a great work. The same words that was used back that we saw in chapter 4. So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Why should I stop working to come down, to sit down around the table, in my words, have a meal, talk with you? There's nothing for us to talk about. I've got a work to do, a great work to do, and we're going to stay here and we're not going to let the work of this of God stop until it's done. We're going to finish the work. He had a mind to work. He realized this was a great and important work. He was going to let nothing take even a seemingly innocent meaning that some say might would bring peace, even though it wouldn't have. He saw through that. He didn't do that. He said, no. We got a work to do. We're going to finish the work. I'm not going to stop. We're not going to cease. We're not going to put it on pause or hold. We're going to keep doing. We're going to do the work of the Lord. But notice verse 4. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. Four different times they come with this same message, this same thing. Meet us down in Ono. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this thing. Let's work things out. And let's be buddy-buddy. May I say today that the devil tries to do the same thing a lot of times. When we're taken and we're working for the Lord, the devil will take a lot of times and he'll bring, if you will, seemingly innocent things along that there seems to be everything okay with. But, and we say a lot of times, well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be careful, that spiritual discernment. Because sometimes sitting down and talking can be dangerous. Sometimes sitting down and talking is nothing more than to get us distracted away from the work of what God wants us to do. Sometimes we do best to do just like Nehemiah and say, no, I'm not against talking, but I've got a work to do right now. The Lord's got a great work He wants me to do. We're not going to cease. We're not going to be distracted. We're going to finish the job. We're going to finish what God wants us to do. He's placed a burden in my heart. I'm not moving away. I'm being steadfast. I'm being faithful in what God wants me to do. Oftentimes, I found it interesting that four times they sent this message, the Bible says, in this way, after this sort, to Him. The word, the number four in Scripture speaks of the earth. The earth will take a lot of times. The world will take a lot of times. And they'll take and they'll spend the same message and the same message and the same message and the fourth time, the same message, trying time and time again to get us to stop doing what the Lord wants us to do. Oftentimes I've heard people talk about getting together. We got to be careful about who and what we get together with. Nehemiah realized that. He said, no, these guys, they're not ones I need to be sitting down and talking to. They're up to no good. They're not ones I need to be keeping company with. We got a work to do. We need to be careful, just like Nehemiah was. And the Lord helped him to see and to have the discernment to see what was behind this plot and ploy. But in verse number 5, if we was to read on down, the fifth time they took and they sent a letter to him. And this time they had a little different idea, and they were wanting him to take and to come and to meet with them down in the house of God, it said in verse 10. Boy, I could spend a lot of time there, this welcome committee. Let's sit down and meet in God's house, Nehemiah. Let's meet in the house of God. After all, what could go on there, right, other than a good thing? Let's meet in God's house. After all, why would you turn down going and meeting in God's house with somebody? What did Nehemiah do? You read on. Nehemiah said, got a work to do. He dismissed it. He didn't go. He kept on a working. You and I, we need to do the same thing in the cells. Verse 11, he said, I will not go in. He knew God had a work for him to do, and he was right where God wanted him at. May I say, a lot of times in our lives, the world, even the religious crowd, will say, hey, you need to go, if you will, over here to church. Why don't you come over here? And God says, no, I got you right where I want you. You know what you need to do? You need to stay. There's so many today say, well, I can go over here and do this. No, if God's got you somewhere, you're doing a God's work where God wants you at. Even if others say, that's not an important work, that's not a large work, that's not a great work. No, wait a second. God's work is a great and a large work. That's what made this work that Nehemiah was doing a great and a large work. It's not the size, if you will, of the work that makes it great, but it's the God of the work that makes it great. You see, all God's work is great work. And today, Nehemiah realized that and he said, no, I'm going to take and I'm going to keep working for the Lord. I won't go, I'm staying here and we're working. Notice with me, the next part. Skip down with me, if you would, to the same chapter. Notice verse number 17. Verse 16, excuse me. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Verse 15, they finished the wall, and the enemies realized, those realized that this work was God's work in the end. May I say today, folks, it doesn't matter what words come. Doesn't matter what weapons or threats of battle come. It doesn't matter what welcome committees come along. Don't let anything stop, detract, or discourage this morning you and me from doing the work where God wants us to do the work, when God wants us to do the work, and how God wants us to do the work. Be steadfast and be faithful in the great and the large work that the Lord has called you to do. You say, but this work ain't great. It ain't large. His work was, Pastor, but ours ain't. May I say today again, God's work is a great work. God's work is a large work. What makes it great? What makes it large? Because it's God's. And today we just need to be faithful where God has placed us at. Being faithful for doing God's work as God's servant. When the Earth's Welcome Committee comes, don't be distracted. Don't waste your time. Don't be threw off. But instead, keep serving God. Even when they come again and again and again and again, and they'll do it, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be discouraged. Keep on serving the Lord in the work that He's called you to do. Others saw that God was the one that had put Nehemiah there, that had put this burden on his heart. And in the end, guess what? The walls were finished. The gate was hung. The doors were put on. And could you imagine what a day it was when Nehemiah and those that builded the wall was able to stand back outside or inside, whichever way you want to look at it, and see the difference between the before and the after. And no doubt when they stood there, they said, as the others around said, boy, this is the Lord's work. The Lord's the one who did this through us. It wasn't us, but it was the Lord. What a work God has for us. Today I encourage you, as God's people, keep doing God's work. It's a great work. It's a large work. A lot of times the devil will try to put those little words in our ears from others. And he'll try the flesh and he'll try to say, hey, that's not a big work. It's in Chester. There's not this many people there. That's not important in the big scheme of things. You could go over here and do this, that, and the other. No, don't be distracted by these things of the world. Keep doing the work that God wants you to do. I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 in closing. 1 Corinthians 15. This morning, whatever the great work is that the Lord's called you to do, it's a large work. It's an important work. And if it's the Lord's work, we need to submit to it and stick to it. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. The Bible says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Is that not what Nehemiah was? He was steadfast. Amen. He was steadfast. Unmovable. They tried everything they could. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, all the enemies. They tried everything they could to get Nehemiah and those people down off that wall. And to not hang those gates up, to not hang those doors up. But you know what? What was he? Unmovable. He said, I am not moving. This is God's work, and we're going to see it through. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May I say today, folks, God's work is a great work. God's got a work for you and each and every single one of us to do. You say, but I don't know. What can God use me for? Everybody do this morning. I heard some of you, now everybody else do it. If you did that this morning, and you're a child of God and you're born again, God's got a work for you to do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be breathing and you wouldn't be able to do that. God's got a work for you to do. God's got a work for me to do. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to do it. We don't need to be distracted. We don't need to get discouraged. We don't need to get off track. We need to take and stick with doing God's work. But you say, I don't see any fruit in it. I don't see any labor in it. Take this verse, memorize it, mark it, claim it as the promise that it is. That if you stick with it, if you're steadfast, if you're unmovable, if you abound in the work of the Lord, by the Lord's help's the only way you can do it, because who's the one that put the Lord's work in his heart, the burden to do, Nehemiah? It was God. And if God's put that there, you stay with the Lord and He'll help you, no matter what may come. What happened in the end? Your labor, it says, is not in vain. May I say today, you may look back a lot of times, and I'm sure some of them could have took and looked back while they were building that wall and said, I feel like this is in vain. We're never going to get there. All these people, everything around us is trying to stop us. Maybe we just need to quit. You ever felt like that when you're trying to work for the Lord? Everything around you just keeps coming against you. And you say, man, I feel like I'm all by myself. No, keep working for the Lord. Don't get off the wall. Keep working for the Lord. And realize, you might not see the fruit now, but in the end, you'll be able to stand back. It may be in heaven one day. And you'll be able to see that the labor, the work that the Lord called you to do, it was not in vain. It was not in vain. Often we feel like when we do work for the Lord, passing out tracts, witnessing to people, talking to family members, we feel like things are in vain. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us God's Word, it doesn't return that way. God's work, it doesn't return that way. We serve the Lord faithfully, there will be reward, and it doesn't return vain. This morning, folks, no matter what work God's called you to do, as individuals, keep doing that work. Keep doing it. The Lord will bless. The Lord will take care of you. Be faithful. Nehemiah was faithful. I ask us this morning as a church, people take and no doubt have taken, and maybe some of y'all have heard them say, hey, well, the Lord can't do nothing down there. You're still going there. You're still doing this. They've tried to say, come over here, that welcome committee. Why don't you come over here with us? Come over here and do this. And why don't you try to come over here and do that? You know what? If God's got a work for you to do, and God's placed you there and something He wants you to do, you need to do it. You need to stick with it. Don't run away from it. Don't wander away. Stay on track. This morning, what work has the Lord got you to do? Have you got discouraged in the way this morning? You say, I don't see no fruit. I don't see no labor in this. May I say today, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Lord said your labor is not in vain for Him. You know, oftentimes I take and I look back at my work at Bilo, and I know Brent feels the same way, and I say, boy, this was in vain. This was useless. 5 minutes later, my work's tore all to pieces again. You ever feel that way, Brother Brent? I know I do. Some of y'all maybe feel that way at your workplace. I just fixed this. I just filled this milk. I just filled these eggs. I just did this. My labor is useless. It's in vain. But you know what? For those that come and got that milk and got that eggs, it wasn't in vain, was it? You see, folks, what am I saying this morning? Simply this. Our labor for the Lord in doing His work is never in vain. Let's be faithful in working for Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. Dear Lord, we thank You for the account of Nehemiah. We thank You for the man that he was. We thank You, dear Lord, that he stuck with it, that he was steadfast, unmovable, that he's always about doing Your work. Dear Lord, even when it seemed he had never... Dear Lord, how in the world would he ever get from the king's palace in a foreign country as a cupbearer back to Jerusalem to lead and to have the walls built? Dear Father, even in those situations, we face the same thing sometimes. We say, how in the world? But dear Father, with You, when You place a burden, when You've got a work for us to do, it's a good work, it's a great work, it's a large work always. And I pray that You'd help us, dear Father, not to be distracted or deterred from the work that You would have us to do today as a church, in spreading the gospel in Chester, in worshiping You and lifting Your name high to all those that's around. Dear Father, I pray that You'd help us as a lighthouse in this community not to ever turn out the light. To be discouraged and say, let's just give up and quit. But help us, dear Father, to realize how great a work it is. That little lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's seas that some say tear down and get rid of. Help us, dear Father, to be faithful as Nehemiah and your people was long ago in doing what you would have us to do. Help me to be faithful as Nehemiah was, no matter what things may come against me to try to distract me from doing what you'd have me to do. Help me, dear Father, to always be faithful. And then in the end, dear Lord, boy, what a blessing it'll be to stand back and see what all you've done. In Jesus' name, help us, dear Father, I pray, to be faithful. Amen.